take one more sip of wine here and let the juice get loose. What's new? How's your week? How's life?
Really busy, but good. Well, I'm working on a program right now. I'm going to be running a masterclass on dating, dating based on your attachment style.
Cool.
And yeah, so it'll be a free like 2-day program that's running on December 2nd and December 3rd at 11 a.m. And so anybody that is interested can sign up. There'll be information on my Instagram at redo.love. And yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
A matchmaking masterclass.
It's a relearn to date based on your attachment style.
Okay, cool. So a masterclass from a matchmaker on maximizing your attachment style. Love it.
In dating, yeah, specifically.
Very cool. All right. Yeah. So tonight's agenda is...
Well, why don't you tell us what's going on with you first?
Oh, nobody wants to hear that. We don't want to... Mm. Nothing really is going on with me other than the same old stuff. Work, twerk, dating and skating, you know, getting
live,
active.
Love, laugh,
just living, loving and laughing, just scheming and plotting the same old stuff. That's about it. Just keeping it real wavy and wiggly. Like that's just,
Oh my God. Get me out of here. Stop. Forget I asked. Move on.
I'm going home to Canada for Christmas.
Oh,
got my
fun.
Flights booked.
And are you going with the kids?
No. I'm going to have them for Thanksgiving and they're going to be with their mom for Christmas. So I'm going home solo. And I just saw something on TikTok that really made my Canadian heart smile. My hometown of Edmonton is, I didn't know this, but the actor Nathan Fillion is of Castle fame, is from Edmonton, Alberta. And the city of Edmonton is trying to get a building built in one of their city parks called the Nathan Fillion Civilian Pavilion. This is a real thing. This is 100% a real initiative. And that's going to be my plug for tonight. Not a masterclass. Not something that's going to teach you how to be a better person and be a wiser dater. Something that's absolutely ridiculous that I'm very much a fan of and strongly support, the Nathan Fillion Civilian Pavilion in Edmonton, Alberta. So
you just like saying that, I can see.
How fun is that? And so they're trying to make it blow up and get John Oliver to talk about it on Last Week Tonight. And it just makes me smile. It just is so great. And I hope it happens. And I hope Nathan Fillion supports it.
Say it again. Say it again.
The Nathan Fillion Civilian Pavilion. How great is that?
I'm surprised you can say it. I don't think I could even say that. Say it 10 times fast.
I might just say it once and then cut it later and edit myself to make it sound like
together.
I did it 10 times fast. Yeah, I'll never know. Speaking of editing tricks, last time we talked about that Beyonce song and we closed with the song Me, Myself, and I and interjected or had a little interlude, I should say, with that Beyonce song. And I was digging that. I was loving the vibes that Queen B was bringing to the episode last time.
Gotta love Beyonce.
Gotta love Beyonce. And I think we were going to pick up where we left off from that episode. In we were kind of doing more of defining the secure attachment style. And I think today we're going to close that loop and talk about how do you get there? Because it's a spectrum, like you've said before.
In becoming secure, one of the ways that you know that you're becoming secure is your emotions are regulated. And that's something we covered last time, where you don't get as triggered by the same types of events. And your nervous system doesn't react either as frequently or with the same amount of intensity, so that you can handle the situation in a more secure fashion, right? Another thing we covered is we did talk about seeing your needs through consistently and creating and upholding boundaries, where, you know, kind of creating boundaries around your needs is a really important part of becoming secure. We did talk about communicating and it being really hard. We talked about the communication in the sense of it being kind of really hard for an insecure attacher to be vulnerable and to communicate their feelings. And when they do, to the point that when they do, and then their boundary is crossed, let's say, or their feelings or emotions, the next time the person doesn't respect that, they can get really upset and put up like really hard lines, like either break up with the person completely, or, you know, just be like, ugh, you know, clearly you don't care anything about me because you didn't do exactly what I asked you to the way that I asked the first time, you know.
Right.
Because it's so triggering and difficult for them to communicate and be vulnerable. It's the idea of having to do it again and re-explain it is really hard. But for a secure person understands that there's like a kind of trial and error phase in the beginning of a relationship where there's going to have to be a calibration, you know, there's going to be some mistakes. Therefore, you know, they can allow for like a little bit of movement. And it's the bigger picture that counts, right? Anyway, the secure person will allow for some trial and error in a relationship, you know? And they don't get bothered by it, and they understand that it's like the bigger picture and the bigger scope of things, whereas an insecure attacher may take offense. An insecure attacher of any kind might take offense at, you know, one thing and create drama out of the one thing.
Right.
The other thing in moving to secure attachment, I kind of started saying about communication. So communication is a really big thing with insecure attachment. For all of the insecure attachments, being vulnerable is really difficult. Even on some level with anxious, it kind of shows up differently between, let's say, the anxious style and the avoidance style, right?
Can we just clarify for one sec there? Sorry to cut you off, but you said the insecure attachment styles, and can we just redefine what all falls under that group? Is that just anyone who is not secure is insecure? That's it. So everything else is insecure.
That's accurate. So it's the anxious, the avoidant, and the fearful avoidant.
Okay.
So there's four total attachment styles. Secure is secure, and then every other one, the other three are insecure.
Okay, cool.
So all three of the insecure attachment styles have a hard time being vulnerable. Mm. And communication is difficult for each of them in their own ways. For the avoidant, it's just difficult to speak and be vulnerable and be emotional at all. For the anxious person, it's kind of interesting because they might think that they are emotional, or they, you know, again, without knowing this stuff, they may seem to be more emotional and more vulnerable, but they are likely doing some sort of people pleasing in relationship that doesn't allow them to properly express their needs, because they're so concerned with holding on to the relationship that they dismiss their own needs in order to keep the relationship.
This is the anxious type.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've identified with that in previous relationships.
Where you were trying to hold on to the relationship more than...
Yeah, I think losing myself in the relationship, trying to hold on to it, trying to people please and kind of doing things against what I really would have wanted to do. But I think sometimes what we can tell ourselves is, oh, well, you know, part of love is sacrifice. And so this is proving my true feelings for my romantic partner.
Right.
But it shouldn't be like that.
No. Yeah. I mean, there is some compromise in relationship, and no, it shouldn't be right. like that, where you're completely dismissing your own needs, desires, or interests in order to hang out with this person, see the person, be in relationship with the person. There's got to be some sort of balance, and there has to be a balance both ways, right?
Yeah.
Like the other person needs to be giving back what you're putting out also.
So is what you're saying that one of the reasons this happens is because of improper communication?
Well, it happens because each of the insecure attachment styles buries their feelings for one reason or another, right? For whatever their subconscious programming is.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't communicate, and then they build resentment. And then that causes a cycle of resentment that kind of happens in the relationship, right? Because the person on the other side doesn't understand why they're kind of resentful. And then, you know, and then it kind of goes back and forth in a relationship between two people. So communication is really important. However, you have to know what's going on in order to be able to communicate, right?
Exactly. You can't communicate something that you aren't even aware of.
Right. Like as an anxious attacher, you might be doing for the other person, kind of like you just said, but also not even realizing that you've lost sight of your own needs. You just think, oh, this, I'm doing what's right for this relationship.
Yeah.
And for this person that I care about, you know? And then the only time you end up realizing it, even with avoidance as well, and fearful avoidance, is when the other person leaves and you're like, where is my life? Like,
yeah.
I had a life once, and now this person is out of my life and I no longer have a life. Who am I as a person, you know?
Yeah.
So it happens, you know, for every style. So the other part of becoming secure, another part of becoming secure, is that secure people can forgive in a healthy manner.
Mm.
Because they're able to communicate their needs, this leads into this conversation, is that because they're able to communicate their needs properly and easily and comfortably, they are able to also, and this, you know, one of the things that I heard kind of related to this that really hit me hard is that that when you don't sometimes when you don't trust your partner, right, to hold space for you, let's say, or to hold to communicate with, What really is happening is you don't trust yourself to communicate and hold up your boundaries.
Hmm. Wait, say that again.
So let's say you're having trouble communicating to your partner, your boundaries, your needs or whatever.
Sure.
It's not so much that and you, in your head, you're playing out this narrative that I don't trust him. He can't do this for me. He's not capable, you know, and you go round and round in circles with this narrative that, you know, for whatever reason, you can't trust your partner to hold space for you. Right.
What do you mean by trust your partner to hold space for you? What does that mean?
Well, when you have, when you're having a vulnerable conversation with somebody, right?
Yeah.
It's part of being vulnerable with somebody is trusting that they can handle what you're going to tell them and that they won't turn on you as a result of what you're going to tell them.
Mm.
Right?
Okay.
Right? I mean, like, so when you're really wanting to share with somebody, it's a little bit of a scary, scary thing to do, right? That's why being vulnerable is so difficult.
Right.
And so what is really happening as an insecure attacher is that you don't trust yourself to be able to state your needs and to hold boundaries around your needs as well. So let's say I say to you, or I say to my partner that I need for him to call me every time, to call me more often, right? And I say to him, I really need to speak to you at least once a day because that for me is like, makes me comfortable and these are my needs, right?
Okay.
So even saying that, right, like as an anxious attacher, it can create like a discomfort for me that here I am stating my needs. He might think I'm silly. He might think that I'm too needy, right?
Yeah. Like, okay. Yep. You
know, like what? So that's uncomfortable for me already on the
outset. Yeah, you're okay? Making yourself vulnerable. You're putting something out there that could potentially be embarrassing or something that is potentially like exacerbating your insecurities, and you're kind of taking a little bit of a risk sharing this information.
Right. And then if I trust myself as a secure person, first of all, I don't have any anxiety around saying that. Right.
Yeah.
And secondly, as a secure person, I know that if he doesn't call me every day, I'm then going to have another conversation with him that will also probably be fruitful, right, in one way or another. That's my assumption as a secure attacher, right? As an insecure attacher, if he doesn't do what I asked him to do, I don't trust myself enough to hold up my boundary and have the conversation again. Because having the conversation the first time was really hard for me. Now comes the second, you know, the second time I'm supposed to have this conversation with him, I need to also stand my ground, right? Because this was really important to me and this is a need that I've decided on. So I don't trust myself to hold my boundary and I don't trust myself to be able to communicate through the next conversation potentially and or to be able to leave the relationship because I'm so busy trying to hold on to the relationship more than I am trying to state my needs and hold my boundaries.
Okay. So that makes sense because you don't trust yourself to hold up your boundary because you're trying to set, it's not really a boundary, but it's an expectation. It's kind of it's in the same ballpark, right? A boundary, sure. An expectation.
Yeah, yeah, standard. You know,
A standard. Here's something that I want, an expectation out of a relationship. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of putting it out there saying, man, I really hope this person like holds up this expectation. B, if they don't, I'm not secure enough to do anything about it. And C, I'm placing all of my happiness and satisfaction and worth in this person's ability to fulfill that expectation.
Exactly.
Damn.
Exactly right. Yeah. Yeah.
And
so
guess
that
what?
Really,
you're fucked if you do that.
Well, you are, but again, it's such a, all of this stuff, because it's so, not only is it subconscious, but if you're not aware of it, you just don't recognize what is really at play and what you're really doing with all of these kinds of passive aggressive, almost, behaviors, you know. And sometimes right. you even know that you're passive aggressive, or your partner will tell you, you know, or maybe several people in life have told you that you're passive aggressive, you know. And it's like, you know, kind of, because you've heard it before, but you don't really know why you do these things, you know. You can't help yourself, kind of, but people please, or you can't help yourself but get upset, you know, when somebody, in like the case of an avoidant, when somebody says something that's like seems really hurtful to you, and you know, you naturally pull away, right? It's your natural state of being, so you just do what you naturally do. And these are the things that cause so many problems in relationships, like not only the subconscious things at play, but also the communication around that stuff.
Right. Cause you're doing these things and it's like, you're trying to have a good intention about it. And you're trying to do, you know, like you've heard that communication is key, and you're trying to communicate with your partner, and you're thinking to yourself, I'm proactively setting an expectation or whatever it is, and you think you're doing the right thing, but you're placing too much weight on that expectation and not secure enough in yourself to not have to rely on someone else's fulfillment of that expectation. And then guess what? They don't live up to it because they're human. And even if they were, they may not do it. They may not do it perfectly. And if they don't, in your mind, it's fucked up. And then you passive aggressively react because they didn't hold up their end of the bargain, which they didn't even know that they had that much weight put on this expectation in the first place. I mean, I'm saying all this just hypothetically, just, this is pure hypothetical here. This is not from experience.
You may or may not have never experienced.
I may or may not have never ever experienced anything like this and can articulate it in this way, because I've just heard about this happening from a friend, but that sounds like, I think, what you're describing, right?
Sounds right.
Okay, cool. I think that's a love redo moment.
Yes, it is.
I think the redo to take away here is to not put all the expectations onto your romantic partner. It's okay to set boundaries, for sure. In fact, you should. It's okay to communicate. Obviously, you should. But we shouldn't expect our personal fulfillment, worth, and happiness to be solely in the hands of one other person who's not us.
Right. And we can't expect perfection just because we've asked for something. And you have to take into account the bigger picture of the relationship. So one infraction in a relationship is not a make or break necessarily, right?
Shouldn't be, yeah.
It shouldn't be, yeah.
So it reminds me of a TikTok, because as we all know, TikTok is the source of all truth, light, knowledge, and wisdom. Anyway, the point is I saw this TikTok where it was this guy and a girl in the car, and she's like, she's talking about like, I'm upset, I want to break up. And the guy's like, are you serious? And then cut to 5 minutes later, they're eating food. And then she says, when are we going to get married? And I'm just like, this is crazy. Like, but some people are really like that, where every small incident is such an extreme, like positive or negative. There's no gray area, you know. It's no nuance November.
Good one. I was like that. I was really, really like that in my marriage.
Really?
Like really bad. Yeah. Well, on my birthday, if he didn't, first, well, I mean, there was lots of things that needed to be done on my birthday, but one of them was that he would have to get me a cake. And if he got, one time he came with a cake from the supermarket, and that was pretty much the end of his like existence as a human for a really long time. Like I took that out on him. I mean, I don't know how long, but the whole dinner for sure. And everybody at the dinner was like really uncomfortable. And then, yeah. And then for days afterwards. But the point is that, you know, I was so externalized all of the issues, right? Like they were always his fault. Everything was his fault. Like if he just got better, then our relationship right. would change and I would be happier, you know? And I would be happier. And it never occurred to me, or I was so afraid of being alone that it just never occurred to me to leave, or that I could leave, or that I should leave, right? That in addition to all the programming that we have around getting married and, you know, staying together and not getting divorced. And, you know, there's all that side of it as well. But ultimately it came down to, you know, a real fear of being alone.
I think the love redo moment here is to not get a cake from Safeway.
Yeah. No cake from Safeway and what do you call it? Supermarket flowers, guys. Oh, I could go right. on and on with this list. Always pay on the first date. We should do a whole topic of things.
I mean, that's just plain and simple etiquette, but what's next?
What is next? Next is, so a really big thing is that in moving towards security, you'll know that you're moving towards security when you don't have the same core wounds. So,
that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Where you've really reprogrammed those core wounds. So abandonment for anxious attachers, general like limiting beliefs, those basically you just don't encounter those anymore. And that goes along with kind of the less intensity and less frequency of your reactions. And you know that because your nervous system doesn't get as activated by the same things that it used to get activated by. So have you noticed a change for you in anything that used to like really bother you or used to get you activated in dating or in a relationship or that doesn't so much now?
I can think of a story or two. Well, one was the story I told last time about the date I went on when she brought her sister and how if I was in a more if I was in a less secure place, I would have personalized that mm-hmm. and thought that I had done something wrong or would have taken it the wrong way and just reacted differently. Mm-hmm. I think another thing though, just in general is texting people and not really giving a fuck if I get a text back.
It's funny. I was going to say the same thing. That's really funny.
Really?
That you bring that up. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like yeah. How have you seen that happening for you?
I mean, I used to be, when I first got on the apps or just like with anyone, I just
like first got on when like years ago, like the very first like when, time.
No, years ago when I first got divorced and I just had no comprehension at all about what was going on. So yeah, I mean, I would expect people to respond to me if I was immediately and like, right. I couldn't, you know, it took me a long while to understand that people were doing other things or that they would get back to me and I would push it. Right. Cause again, I didn't quite get it. So I would be like, oh, you're not responding, or oh, you forgot about me, or, you know, I would say things like that, you know.
For the record, then, I think we should share one quick anecdote here. Okay. a personal anecdote about this. Uh-huh. You and I met on the apps,
uh-huh,
in 2018.
Okay. That was 2 years later, by the way. 2 years in.
2 years after you'd been divorced. Okay. Right. So we're talking about, uh-huh, so you first got on the apps in like 2016, 2 years later.
Uh-huh.
This whirlwind of a mustache came into your life, and then Flora ghosted me.
See what I'm saying?
I just think it's interesting. But yeah. Anyway, so everything worked out, because here we are now, best buds.
Here we are, by hook or by crook.
What?
Don't laugh at me and my stupid saying. You say a lot of stupid shit.
Sorry, I cut you off. I just thought that was an interesting anecdote, story that was related to what you were saying, but I cut you off.
I think that that's the point, right?
Yeah.
Is that I was really anxious about people responding to me in the beginning. It was something that really bothered me and really annoyed me. And as time went on, you know, I literally don't give a fuck right now. Like, when I send a text, I've forgotten that I've sent the text. And if somebody gets back to me, they get back to me, kind of thing. You know what I mean? I don't sit and wait. I don't sit and hope, which I did, you know. And listen, if you like somebody, right, or you're interested, then yeah, you're definitely, you know, kind of a little bit more vigilant about whether they've responded or not. But it doesn't take up any mind space anymore, you know, or it doesn't take up very little mind space.
Right.
Now, especially, you know. And then the other thing, the really big thing, is for all insecure attachment styles, is having a strong sense of self-identity and direction for life, for their life, and sense of purpose, right? The secure person does not have the core wounds, right? So they're not living a life that is based off of core wounds, right? They are just living life. And when you have a purpose in life, and when you have kind of your own things going on, your own goals and your own sense of accomplishment, you don't have, you're able to focus on what you want to create rather, and your vision of life, rather than being, you know, deep in your emotional baggage. It's not taking up all that stuff, the core wounds, the limiting beliefs, living in the past, the anxiousness about the future. That's not taking up emotional real estate in your brain and in your subconscious. So having a sense of purpose and having a sense of self-identity and having, you know, a base sense of self-worth allows you to focus on life, you know, creating, really, you know?
Yeah. You mentioned this term core wounds a couple times. Why use that terminology? What is a core wound?
So for the anxious attacher, well, for all of the insecure attachment styles, there is a sense of abandonment, a lack of self-worth, and not feeling good enough, and limiting beliefs around that, right? Because as a kid, you've internalized however you were raised, right? And you've taken whatever has happened to mean something about you. And because you've taken it to mean something negative about you. So, you know, say you got laughed at even in class as like a six-year-old when you got up to spell something, right? Or somebody yelled at you and called you stupid like while you're in class, you may hold on a limiting belief for the rest of your life or into adulthood that you have this core wound of like feeling stupid because somebody called you stupid, you know? When your emotions are dismissed by your parents and your parents are constantly telling you, stop crying, you know, be a big boy, you know, you're not supposed to cry, you're a boy, that kind of thing. You may grow up with a core wound that you're not really allowed to have emotions and you're not allowed to be emotional. So those are the types of things that happen that are happening underneath and are at play underneath the surface.
Okay. I mean, it's pretty much, yeah, I figured as much, just wondered if there was like a specific definition for, you know, why something was labeled as a core wound, but basically just something that's a memory that you have in your core that still informs the way that you think and act.
Yes. And usually a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times it's subconscious. So it's very deeply ingrained, you know, to the point where I have had, you know, and worked through some issues that I was very aware of, but in re-experiencing them on the subconscious level, it's a very different understanding than it is, you know, again, on that left brain side that's cognitive and gets it, you know? Like, I always knew I had daddy issues, right? But I didn't really get what was at play.
Daddy issues, huh?
It's a whole nother episode.
Okay. What else? How else?
I mean, that's, you know, that covers a lot of the ways that the three different attachment styles can move towards being secure. And, you know, there's actually one other quick note is that when moving towards secure, any of the three attachment styles may falter towards the opposite extreme a little bit, right? So if you're anxious as you're moving into becoming secure, you may feel like or may think that you're becoming becoming avoidant. Because your partner might see it that way, right? Because you're actually coming back inside yourself. Like, you're not moving away from, but you're moving towards yourself. And so your outward actions and behaviors are really different than they used to be, you know? I kind of call it a calibration, right? You start in one place, you go all the way to the opposite extreme, you kind of test it out, and then you come, you know, you find your way back towards the middle in after different experiences and testing out the other extreme. You find where you're comfortable. So even avoidance will become more emotional, which for them is very weird, right? Because they're typically not emotional people, and they'll be like, what the heck's going on here? I don't like this. Am I anxious now? You know? So I think we've covered a good majority of this stuff.
I think that's great. I think anyone who is listening who wants to move from insecurity to security now has plenty of ammo and in anecdotes to help guide their way. If we've done our job correctly.
If.
That is. Yes, if we've done our job correctly, then hopefully this will improve at least one person's dating life and help them move on the spectrum towards security. So,
I mean, it's gotta have helped yours.
Yes. unequivocally life-changing. This has been a matchmaking masterclass metamorphosis.
Now, there you go. God.
To wrap this up from where we began. So, with that, this was episode 6.
Yeah. It's a lot already.
Going long, going strong. So,
let's keep it going. Yeah. And thank everybody for listening. And please review,
like,
and subscribe and rate it.
Like, rate, share.
Share,
evangelize.
yes, and then book a program.
Book a program. What does that mean?
You can go to my website, or you can go to redo.love, and we can have a chat about what's going on with you and decide what the best course of program would be for you. Whoever you
and
are
what, out there. And what is a program?
Well, there's a few different programs that I offer, but at this point, they're all personalized, although I am moving into group programs, kind of as we discussed at the top of the hour.
What would I get out of a program? Why would I want to do a program?
You would get personal coaching with me about your dating life and your relationship life, and to figure out some of these subconscious things that are at play and how to embody the more secure style, and some of the other subconscious issues that plague our psyche, and ultimately finding yourself in the process and finding joy in the process of dating.
Who wouldn't want that? That sounds amazing. That sounds fucking awesome. Get a program, go to Flora's Instagram, go to her website, and redo fucking love.
Oh, there you go.
Should we just rename the podcast the Love Fucking Redo? Let's focus group that.
I'm not going to tell you that I think you're right, but I'm not saying that. So there's that.
All right, guys, we are out of here. Enjoy life. Enjoy love. And we'll see you next time.
Peace. Bye.
Peace. Bye.